Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going into part two of our, what we were going to call creating multiple offers and exit strategies. So, Jeff, you gave us an example of a deal. It wasn't a real deal, but it's a prime example of deals that you would come across. So let's start there. Let's go into those numbers again on the house. Yep. And then last episode, we talked about our cash offer. We talked about our short-term financing offer, if we were going to rehab it for ourselves or wholesale it.
Yep.
And then we created one a three-year offer.
Yep. Principal only.
Principal only, if we were going to hold it or if we were going to wholesale it to another investor. So guys, if you haven't caught that one, go back and listen to that episode so that this one makes sense. Take it away, Jeff.
All right, so let's set the stage one more time. So we have a property, ARV is $340,000, needs repairs and $30,000 of work. Rents, $1,750 a month. The seller is asking $265,000. They owe $90,000. Their payment is $710, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. It's at 3.5% interest. Taxes, $1,800 a year. Insurance is $60 a month. And like you said, we came up with a cash offer, wholesale offer around 2.25%. Mayo, maximum allowable offer, what a rehabber would pay around 240, 242. We did a short-term owner financing offer, and we looked at a couple of different ways that we could structure that with an amortization, principal only, just covering the payment, down payment, 6 to 8 month period of time. And then the third offer that we looked at was offering them even more money than what they were asking, offering them principal-only payments of $1,000. And then we showed how good it would be, one, if you held it, if we held it ourselves, 22% return on investment, I believe, or if we wholesaled it in a quick, easy $16,000 because the terms are so good.
Which would be about a 14, a little over 14%.
Yeah, 14, almost 14.5%. But
return to our buyer.
But ridiculous principal pay down.
Yes.
Right?
So huge, huge equity spread over that 3 years.
Yeah. So let's pick it up from there.
Okay. Okay.
So let's say that, you know, same example. You know, we just offered 271 when they were asking 265. Let's say we're just going to look at a different exit strategy. So before, we were looking at wholesaling it.
Uh-huh.
Or we're looking at buying and holding it.
For ourselves, yep.
So what if we buy it and then sell it? Okay, so let's think about this for a second. So what if we came up with the $14,000 ourselves?
Okay.
Okay. We put $10,000 to $15,000 into it, so we made it presentable.
Okay.
Maybe not retail ready, but we put some work into it, make some nice updates. And now we're going to sell it. So it's worth $340,000, right? But we're not putting in the full $30,000 to make it truly worth $340,000.
Right.
So let's say that, you know, we don't want to get too crazy, but let's say that we're going to sell it conservatively for 3.25%. I think that's feasible.
Yeah.
I do. I think that's fair.
Right.
$30,000 down, so not even 10%, a little less. Let's say we're going to sell it at 4.5% to 5% interest.
Okay.
Pretty close to, I mean, that's right in what you're going to get at the bank right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you amortize, so if you take 325 and you minus 30,000, you have a principal balance of about 295, I believe.
Right.
And let's say at 4.5% amortized over 30 years, your payment's like $1,494.
Okay.
5%, you're at $1,583. These are principal and interest.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your payment a month on this?
$1,000.
Is there some potential cash flow there?
Yes.
Yeah. Like $500+ a month, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, remember that the seller's payment includes taxes. So we would add another $150 to this that we would get. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like the 4.5%, their payment would be like $1,650 plus insurance, but we're not going to worry about the insurance right now. $1,650 we collect. How much are we paying out?
$1,000. Yeah.
How much are we making? How much is left for us?
$650.
That's pretty good, right?
That is good.
Okay.
Especially without being a landlord and having, you know, any of the problems that arise from that.
So let's say that we bought it, $14,000 down, we put $15,000 into it, maybe we have some, you know, minor closing costs. We're into it for like $30,000. We collect $30,000, right, from our buyer.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're even. We haven't made any money. But
right.
Don't you like when you own properties where you have $0 in it?
Right.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like ideal, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And you're collecting a paycheck every month?
Yeah. I mean, everyone is after the Burr strategy where you can refinance and pull all your money out.
Uh-huh.
How about you don't have to refinance?
Okay? Yeah, even better.
Okay, so the only negative here is you bought it and now you've sold it. Okay, so you don't own it anymore.
Right.
So depending on your situation, that may be something that is a negative for you. Okay, because there's a tax consequence. You don't get the depreciation, all that. That can be easily remedied, and I'll show you that in a second. But let's just say that we're going to sell it, okay? So, and I didn't even add in the tax portion. So I'm just looking at the cash flow. So I took 494 to 583, okay? That would be your cash flow. Now, you don't have any maintenance on this property. You
right.
have no repairs.
Right.
You don't, you're actually not paying the taxes. You're not paying the insurance. You have nothing left to do other than do one thing, and that is collect a payment, make a payment.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. So that's kind of why I like this scenario.
Okay.
But I want you to see, you were buying this property for more than what they were asking, right? $271,000. It needs $30,000 in work, and it's only worth $340,000. So the most amount of money that someone could hope to make is like $40,000 minus, you know, holding costs and, you know, everything else that may go into it, correct?
Right.
Okay. Think about this. Okay, so your cash flow over the course of 3 years is somewhere between $17,784 and $20,988. Okay, and that's either the 494 or the 583.
Okay.
And we already just figured out it's actually $150 more than that
with
each month.
With the insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus your balloon payment. Okay. So if you remember in the example, at the end of 3 years, I think we owe $221,
uh-huh.
I believe. Okay, so in this, they're going to owe somewhere around $280,057 to $281,263.
Okay.
Depending on what their interest rate is. So there's a difference of $59,057 to $60,263.
Okay.
Add those to the cash flow, and you make somewhere around $77,000 to $81,000 over the course of three years on a property you don't own.
And that you had no money in it.
But what if everything went bad? Your buyer said, I'm out of here. I'm not buying anymore. Keep my money. The market tanks. This house is now worth $250,000, which, come on, it's not going to happen. But the world is ending, and this is terrible. If you had a conventional loan, what would happen?
The bank would take it back if you let it go.
And they would come after you personally because you personally guaranteed it.
Yeah.
What would happen here?
You could give it back to the seller.
Well, I could go back to the seller and say, hey, the world is ending. Do you want to work something out? Because what we worked out before is not going to happen. And renegotiate. Or two, look, I understand. I don't want to put you through anymore. But this isn't working for me. Here's your property back.
Right.
No personal guarantee. No credit issues. No coming after you.
No loss of money.
Right. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Not bad. Make $77,000 to $81,000, $0 invested on a property you don't own.
Right.
What if I wanted to just be, I just wanted to hold it. So I didn't want to sell it. So I lease optioned it out. Oh, by the way, what's your return on investment on this property?
Huge.
It's infinite.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
It's a great cash flow. You have no money invested, so it's an infinite rate of return.
Yeah.
If I did a lease option instead of selling it, I'm most likely not going to get the same kind of down payment. So I'm going to leave money in the property. That's something I don't love to do personally, but that's a personal choice.
Right.
So let's say that you could get $10,000 back, but you've put in $29,000. So you've got like $20,000 left in it. But there's no principal pay down from the buyer. The numbers would still just work out fine as long as the buyer ends up exercising their option. You're not getting the taxes and insurance. You're just getting a rent. Mm-hmm. That rent would probably be what, $1,750, I think we decided.
Yeah, market rent.
So you're still making $500 a month. So $18,000 over 3 years, and let's say that they owe you $315,000 minus the $221,000. So they'd owe you about $94,000 plus the $18,000. You'd make $112,000 minus the $20,000. But you'd get the tax benefits. You'd get some depreciation. Either one works.
Right.
I just don't love leaving $20,000 in this property.
Yeah.
Now I have that money back out where I can go use it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Cool.
So it's cool to think about it in the other aspect of it. If you were to hold it and just do that, go that route, a lease option or just rent it out.
Yep. So this was an offer, and we could structure this differently as well. So it doesn't have to be principal only. But can you see that? I mean, seriously, I could offer $280,000, $285,000 probably. I could make this offer where it potentially would be very enticing to the seller.
Yeah.
So, and if the seller ever considered about renting the property, which is typically, I mean, when someone is trying to sell their property, let's say like for sale by owner, they typically have two like, Plan B and C. Mm-hmm. Plan B may be I'd rent it or I'm going to list it, right?
Right.
I mean, if I don't get it sold doing what I'm doing, I'm going to go to Plan B or C.
Yeah.
So if one of them is renting it, well, wouldn't you be interested in something like this? Because the goal really is to sell it.
Yeah.
But I had to go to Plan B because I wasn't getting what I wanted. Well, here, I'm going to give you more than what you wanted. And you're going to get the same kind of deal as if you were renting it, but I just ended all your headaches.
Yeah, absolutely. They've already considered that option.
Yeah. So I want to go over one more option. And I probably could have come up with several more, but okay. I just wanted to give an idea of what you're trying to look at here and how you could make multiple offers to this seller that would range from, hey, my cash offer, which is pretty low, to my short-term financing, which is a little better, to another offer that's going to be, better, and then my best offer, which was the one that we just discussed, which is over and above what you were asking.
Right.
Okay. So offer four would be something to this effect. What if we, so they're asking 265, so we came in at 255.
Okay.
Okay. And we offered them $20,000 down, which most of the time I'm not in favor of because we're basically offering them 10%.
Uh-huh.
That down payment is crucial to us, okay? Crucial. Whether we want to buy, whether we want to wholesale, we want to get in light. And when I say light, the least amount possible. So why would we want to offer close to 10%? Not typically what I would do, but I'll show you why. So our principal balance, we would still owe the seller $235.
Okay.
We're going to take 4% interest. Why? Because I chose it. It's in the realm of market interest rates, not quite what you would pay at a bank. The seller's not the bank. They're not Wells Fargo or Bank of America, so I don't feel like I have to offer them. Another myth is, when sellers say, well, I want 7% or I want 10%. All right, but wrong seller that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So 4% amortized over 30 years. Their payment would be $1,121. Your payment to the seller would be $1,121. Principal and interest.
Okay.
Remember, we would add the $150 in taxes. There would be an insurance payment. So our total payment would be $1,331, okay? We're now going, we want a longer term. So everything that we have done up to this point has been pretty short term.
Yeah,
so
we 3 years. We did
6 month, 8 month, and then a 3 year term.
Uh-huh.
So let's ask for a longer term now. 6 years, 5 years, 7 years, somewhere in that range. Okay, so if we do a 6 year term and we just do a balloon, we would owe $207,498 at the end of 6 years.
Okay.
Which is even less than where we were with the 3 year term at $221, right?
Yeah.
Our cash flow would be about $419 a month. So a little over $5,000 for the year. Okay. So we can do a couple of different things here. One is we could wholesale it. And when I say wholesale it, it means we're going to arbitrage the down payment. So what we're going to do is figure out what we can add for our fee on top of that down payment, pass it on to someone else.
Uh-huh.
Okay? We're going to add our fee to the down and to the purchase price.
Okay.
Okay? So what if we wanted to make $15,000? Okay? Which is what we're always looking to make. Okay.
Yeah.
So the down payment would become $35,000. That's the 20 that we're offering the seller plus our 15. Okay. The purchase price would be $270. So we're adding to both.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So their return on investment. So you've now got to add in that they're making $5,000. It's $5,028. Divided by 35,000. Oh, I'm sorry. Plus, let's say they've got to put 15 grand into it, right?
Yeah.
So divided by 35,000. What is it, like 10%? Yeah, it's like 10% return on investment. So normally, that's not where I'd want to be
okay.
on a wholesale deal. I usually want it to be 12 plus. Yeah. However, we have a longer term. I swear every investor that we ever deal with, this is what they say to me on every deal. Can you get a longer term? Can you get a longer term? Well, we got a longer term, 6 years. 6 years is pretty good.
Yeah.
If the market was to correct, typically within a 6 year period of time, we'll be out of the correction and we'll be on the upswing again.
Right.
So, does that help the people that, you know, want to sell the people with, you know, hey, we want 20, 25 years? No, but 6 years is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I believe that you could sell this to another investor at a 10% return on investment. Keep in mind where they're going to be at the end of 6 years. That's without any appreciation to the house.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to owe $207,000 and it's worth $340,000.
Right.
I mean, that's, this is a big spread.
Yeah. Huge equity spread.
Yep.
And not even taking into account appreciation.
Yeah. So, the wholesale price here works. What's the worst case scenario if you wanted to wholesale it? Drop your wholesale fee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Make 10.
Yeah, I'm just going to say 10.
Yeah. So what if we just do a buy and hold? Okay. Again, we're at 14.5% return on investment.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. But we have a six-year term. All the other things still apply, and you know, again, we're going to have this huge equity spread. Now, we offered 4%, and are we close to the purchase price that they were asking?
Yeah,
we came in pretty close.
Right.
Okay. And we'll figure out what the seller is going to gross after all of this in just a second. Okay, so what if we did a lease option? So we could get maybe $10,000 down.
Uh-huh.
We could probably get more in rent than what we thought. So we'd probably get $1,850 a month.
Right.
So we're going to be over $500 a month. We'll make $6,228 for the year. We have $25,000 left in the property because the 20 plus the 15. 35 minus the 10 that we get back.
Uh-huh.
So we get a 25% return on investment. Not bad. We're going to pass on all the maintenance and repairs to the tenant buyer. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have that. In 6 years, we're going to have $37,368 cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the buyer exercises their option. They owe you $310,000. We sold it for 3.25 like we did in that last example. Actually, it would be $315,000. You owe the seller $207,000. You make about $102,000 to $107,000. Total profit over the 6 years is about $140,000. On a property that most wholesalers and rehabbers would bypass, and you're able to offer pretty close to what they're asking with pretty reasonable terms.
Yeah.
Could we also do like what we talked about, the buy and sell? Yep. The spread won't be as big, so it might not be as advantageous to, you know, sell at 5% when you're offering 4%. You could still work all that out and decide if that's what would make sense. But do you see how there are so many options available?
Yeah.
Let's just work something out here. So even though we're offering the seller 10 grand less than what they're asking, if they're getting, let's say it's 1121 principal and interest plus the 150, right? Because their payments, taxes, and insurance, so they're going to collect at least taxes, okay?
Uh-huh.
So they're going to get $1,271
a month.
Minus $710, right? So they're making $561 a month.
In cash flow.
Yeah. So in this case, That's over the course of 6 years. Uh-huh. So 72 months.
Times 72.
That's 40,392.
Yep.
Plus their 207, 498, which is their balloon.
Right. At the end of that 6 years.
Yep. Plus their 20,000.
Down. They received. Yep.
So they're not making a... Why is that? They should be making more than that.
I got 267, yeah, 890. Yeah,
they should make more than that. I'm wondering what I did wrong here. So, oh, I'm sorry. We're figuring out, this should be the gross. So that would be like net. Well, close to net. So really what they're getting is that 12. So we figured out what they were pocketing in the middle between their payment. In reality, what we're doing is take that 1121 plus 150. That's 1271 times 72. That's 91,000, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, over 6 years.
Yeah. Now plus the 207, the balloon payment.
207.
Plus the 20,000.
Yep.
So they're grossing $319,000 for their property that they're asking 265.
Yeah.
If they wait on it. So they're not getting all that because they have an underlying loan. But if this was free and clear, that's how much they would make for waiting on their money.
Right.
So that's not bad on a house that needs a bunch of work that, you know, they're probably going to have a hard time selling at this particular price.
Yeah, on the market.
Yep.
Right.
So does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And what's really cool here is to just see how creative you can get with it. Like you said, you can come up with, you know, multiple offers on this. But that's really, that's the creative part in creative financing, right? And that's what's cool here is just walking us through that, Jeff. I hope it opens up the minds of our audience to you know, just to, you know, give them a glimpse of what they can do with other deals like this that are similar, because the possibilities are endless, really.
Yep.
And I mean, there's few exit strategies, but the way you can structure it is really endless. I mean, you can think of so many creative things to do here, and really what we're just demonstrating is showing you how that works and how you can do that, how you can structure that.
Well, could you imagine, and this is what I like to do, and there's not really a perfect way of doing this. You can do it any number of different ways. But what I'd like to do is offer this seller all of those options. So here's my cash offer of 2.25. Here's my short-term financing of 235. Here's my long-term financing of 6 years for 255. And here's my actually 3-year, even shorter term for 271.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm thinking about price.
Okay? Yeah.
So if you're willing to wait on your money, I've got some things that you can get your price or close to it or more.
Right.
If you want your money right now, that's fine. This is where we got to be. So I don't really care which offer they take. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's like, oh, I really hope they take option number 1 or 2 or whatever. But if they take any of the options, I can make it work.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is saying, you tell me, Mr. Seller, what works best for you?
Yeah.
And here you go.
Exactly.
And if they're not ready to take something, then tell me, give me some feedback. Why didn't it work for you? Now let's, you know, the third option that we talked about. Yeah, yeah. I just can't do no interest. All right. Yep. Do you really want to talk interest or do you really want to talk price? Because really, isn't it basically the same thing? Other than you're going to pay taxes on the interest.
Yeah. Yeah. So to kind of simplify this, Jeff, and just to put it into perspective, if you're not that well versed in creative financing, what would you say? Because here's what I would say. I would say at least offer them give them three offers. One is your cash price. Two is a short-term cash price, short-term, 6 months financing. And then just look at it as a buy and hold, either for yourself or for another investor. And whatever, the going cash on cash return is in your market, aim for that. So yep. Here you say 12% cash on cash return is pretty good. So just think of
the minimum as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yep. So it might be different in your market, wherever you are. It might be higher, in the Midwest, it certainly is.
Yep.
But just think just those three things. Just always try to structure three offers, cash, short-term financing, and then look at it as a buy and hold. How would you simplify it?
I think that's a great idea, and that third option could be principal only and a higher price. Now, the one thing that people should understand is, if this house needed $60,000 in work, then it's probably not the candidate that it is right now. This is probably more of a dated. The more money someone has to come in to fix, the more it becomes a rehab rather than, a buy and hold. It's about how much money has to come out of someone's pocket compared to what can be brought in.
Right.
So don't think that, hey, I can just go offer more than anyone is asking for every single property. You can't.
Right.
And those are that's what you have to learn is how these numbers will work. And the best way to do that is to practice.
Yes.
And if you have questions, send them in to us. And I can't tell you I'm going to spend an hour with you, but I'll do my best to give you some direction or ask your questions and we can use it on our show.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Jeff. How much money does the property need? Because that will really drop it in one of two buckets.
Well, and right? If this would only rent for $1,400, some of these don't work anymore.
Yeah, and
that's true, why it's important to know what the potential rent is.
Yeah,
because if the rents compared to the price don't work, then you're going to have a hard time structuring this.
Right.
So one of the things I keep seeing people do is they think that owner finance solves every problem. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It solves a lot more problems than potentially just cash.
Yeah.
But we can't buy every single property.
Yeah, because there still has to be a spread there. There still has to be some kind of arbitrage between what their monthly payment is or what they'll accept and what you can actually rent it out for and an equity spread.
That's right.
Cool. Well, guys, I hope this was super helpful. This is so insightful for me, just walking through these scenarios and just realizing the multiple offers that you can come up with for a single house, for a single scenario. So again, if you haven't listened to episode one, go back to part one, listen to that one so that this one makes sense. And really, I would strongly encourage you to use your calculator and run through the numbers just as Jeff does, or I do. I really try to follow along here. So when Jeff's...
We've both got our calculators
out. Yeah, we both have our calculators out. And this is practice. This is very helpful for me, and it will be for you too. So if you're not in a position right now, go back and listen to this and just run through the numbers with us. Punch them into your calculator as we are on our end here as we run through this. So... All right, guys, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, if you have a specific deal, scenario, whatever, you can reach us on our hotline, and that number is 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090. And Jeff, I know you're looking for people to work with nationwide on commercial deals. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, so keep in mind, I'm not interested in single family homes. I'm interested in multifamily, maybe as small as, triplex, fourplex on up, preferably bigger, fiveplex, eightplex, 100-plex. The price doesn't really matter, but it's got to be something that we can create some value. So the rents are low, it needs some deferred maintenance, Or we can create some terms. If not, don't bring me, just don't bring me a bunch of listings that, you know, people have for sale. It's just like anything else. We've got to be able to buy it right to make it make sense. I'd be interested in any kind of income property, probably more specifically like mobile home parks. So if you've got something, you know, send me some details and I'll work with you on it.
Absolutely. Guys, you can also go to our website where all of our podcasts are. That's thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Again, thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And one more time on that hotline, 877-409-8090. Till next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.